It's just gone 29 minutes to 9 o'clock. This is the Karima Brown Show. You are listening to 702. Now, we heard last night from the presidency spokesperson, Kusela Diko, that President Cyril Ramaphosa has indeed signed the bill into law, which will allow for a more transparent position around party political funding. However, the president is yet to announce when the political party funding bill will come into effect. This means that it is now law for political parties to reveal their private funding annually. The bill also prohibits political parties from accepting donations from foreign governments, state-owned entities, and organs of state. The Constitutional Court last year declared the Promotion of Access to Information Act invalid due to the failure to allow for the disclosure of donations to political parties and independent candidates. Organizations such as My Vote Counts and Right to Know have been consistently given the many reasons why hiding this information contributes to political inequality and, of course, deep corruption and allegations of capture at the point of funding the organizations. Well, I'm now joined by the spokesperson from both organizations. Let's start first up with Sheilan Clark. She's the spokesperson at My Voice Account. Ms. Clark, good evening. Welcome to the program.
Good evening. Thank you for having me.
And then, of course, we are also joined on the line by Dale McKinley. He is the spokesperson for Right to Know. Mr. McKinley, good evening. Welcome to the program.
Good evening, Karima, and to your listeners, too.
Now, of course, the lobby groups like yourselves have welcomed the ruling about the funding transparency, and you're saying that parties should disclose funding even without the bill being implemented. Eusebius Makaiza, my colleague, had both Hlaudi Motsoeneng and Zwanele Manye on consecutively over 2 days. Now, these are the new kind of pop-up parties that we've seen in the wake of the Zuma state capture phenomena. And both of these parties, you know, pretend to want to open their books. But when you say, okay, can we come and see? They say, well, it's not just us, but it's everybody that must come. Both the DA and the EFF opposed this bill for different reasons. Do you think this bill, let me start with you, Ms. Clark, is going to come into effect to impact on this year's election? And even if it doesn't, should voters be demanding that from the parties anyway?
Yes, so this is why My Vote Counts and Right to Know have pushed for the president to sign this bill before the end of November, because if he had done so, it would have come into effect by this year's elections. But unfortunately, we're going to see a delay in the implementation, so therefore we will not have this information for this year's election. But it is law, and then also citing the Constitutional Court ruling of last year, political parties should not have to wait until they get the actual green light to publish their information, because it is now law. And if political parties are all want to show voters that they are about transparency and their hands are clean, they should take this opportunity to disclose their private funding.
Now, Mr. McKinley, in the last few days, we have seen the Busasa claims at the State Capture Commission about how political parties such as the African National Congress was in fact bankrolled. The one allegation is that 1.8 million was paid to the party for its election campaign in the Northwest. That's 5 years ago already. And then, of course, also Cyril Ramaphosa confirmed late in 2018 that he had received a 500,000 donation from Busasa CEO boss Gavin Watson for his presidential campaign. The president said the donation was made without his knowledge. We also know, for example, that the EFF was bankrolled by a known cigarette smuggler and given their election, their registration money by Mr. Mazzotti, someone that's implicated in SARS, and they haven't denied it. And those are just the parties we know of. I mean, the ACDP for years have been rumored to be taking money from Christian right-wing groups in America that are involved in quite dangerous activities, such as bombing abortion clinics and, you know, getting involved in harassing doctors that help women with reproductive rights and so on. So there's a deep need for us to obviously know where the monies are coming from. But the parties have shown a kind of almost resilience about not telling us where their party funding is coming from and thinking that it's not really going to matter to the voter. Do you think it is going to matter to the voter? And do you think we will find a mechanism to hold these people to account in political parties, Mr. Kinley? Mr. McKinley?
Yes, well, I think, you know, the proof of the pudding is going to be in enforcement. So this is a good law, and I think all citizens will welcome this law, and I think everybody supported it, generally speaking, because it's at the heart of democracy. I mean, if we have people who just throw money around and buy the votes and buy the policy, well, we don't have a democracy, and I think most people understand that. So in the context of the enforcement, this is, you know, the IEC has been given the responsibility to basically enforce this. And the question that we would have here is, just like, for example, setting up of the information regulator who hasn't been capacitated, will, and all of these other institutions which have been debilitated in doing their jobs, will we see the IEC capable of actually enforcing, going after, reviewing, monitoring, and then taking things before the electoral court, which has the power to review and impose fines? For breaking the law. So it's good that we now have a law, because previously it was just basically carte blanche for the political parties. But the question is it going to be enforced?
Now,
that's the question across the board.
You're saying the IEC has to publish the information on parties' direct donations. Now, you guys have called for a number of things, and just take me through whether these things have in fact been incorporated in the law that has been signed. The one is that local government sphere be included to receive funding from the Multi-Party Democracy Fund, that the allocation formula for the fund should be changed so that 50% is distributed proportionally and 50% equitably. The other is that members should not be allowed to personally receive party political donations. And then, of course, include to whom the IEC must publish the information on parties' direct donations, and that the information on political parties' investment vehicles should be regulated and disclosed. There's also the other issue around lowering the prescribed threshold for disclosures of 100,000 to 10,000, and lower the upper limit that single donors can donate. There's also the issue around not allowing foreign entities to donate to political parties, and not to allow donors to donate to the MPD if fund to retain anonymity. Has all of these riders, as one would call it, been incorporated, Sheila, into the existing law as has been endorsed and signed by the president?
Well, so one of the biggest issues, or there's many loopholes within the bill, but one of the issues I'd like to talk about is that 100,000 rand threshold.
Yeah.
Now, for say a bigger political party, that doesn't sound like much. I mean, it doesn't sound like something that I can cover a campaign.
Yes.
But for when you think about provincially, or like 100,000 rand may be enough to twist the arm of a local councillor in the municipality. Because, I mean, that's enough to have them approve some construction plan that will go against the interests of the community.
Yeah.
So, I mean, because if you think about it, just in terms of South Africa's economic context, that's a bit too high.
Because
it really could spell more issues on a local level, which, I mean, our municipalities, the local level, there's a lot of corruption happening on that level.
Oh, absolutely. So that, I mean, we haven't even scratched the surface of
it.
No. what I want to know is this in the law or not? And if it is, would you like it to be amended?
Yes, so that is still in the bill that has not been passed. It's now an act. That is still in there, and that will be something that we will need to amend in future.
Okay. Mr. McKinley, the conditions that were attached here as things to consider for the bill, to your knowledge, what is your opinion about the extent to which the law took into consideration these caveats that you've put in?
Well, I think that there's still quite a lot of loopholes in this law. Mm. And we had, with my vote counts, we had pointed this out in our submissions as other members of civil society had. We just mentioned a couple of them in terms of the threshold, as well as the maximum donation. The 15 million land is the maximum donation. That's a large amount of money. Mm. And I think what the bill has missed an opportunity to do, even though it's established a multi-party democracy fund, it's really missed the opportunity to shift from private funding to more public funding, yes. A much more public and a much more equitable, which really, I think, would take that influence out. This was an opportunity to do so, and unfortunately Parliament didn't take the entire, you know, opportunity. They took some of it. So I think we're going to have to continue to push. It's good we have this law, that's great, but laws can be improved, and I think this one certainly we can close some of those gaps, because as they are, there's a lot of people that could exploit them and basically get around it.
How essential, Sheelan, is the IEC to making this law, compliant and getting people to be compliant with it? Are they the watchdog over the process?
Well, they do have a big role to play. I mean, they obviously are setting up the two new funds. They'll be managing like the donor information and all of that. But it's not just up to the IEC. I mean, it's us, civil society, and South Africans and the media. I was saying to somebody now, we've now got this law, but now it's about, you know, holding political parties and government to account. Like, are they going to follow through on this law? So it's up to all of us to just make sure that we hold everybody to account and that we have transparency.
Okay, so I mean, a basic toolkit, Dale McKinley, for a political reporter who goes to a press conference where a political party unveils the manifesto is, can you please tell us where your funding is coming from, which parties, which businesses are giving you funds, are you getting monies from overseas? I mean, these should be standard road questions that political reporters should be asking political parties, isn't it?
Absolutely, and we can use, even if the law is not going to be implemented immediately,
yes.
We can all begin to use Section 32 of the Constitution and PIA, which the Constitutional Court said, basically, you're more than welcome to do that, because now it has to change. So we do have mechanisms that we can go around if people want to be stubborn. And reporters and activists and everything, I think that what this, all of these commissions and what's been happening over the last many months has raised for all of us a consciousness that says money in politics is poisonous. And it poisons a lot of people that we didn't think could be poisoned, and our institutions. So the sooner we get it out and the sooner we can control it, the better.
Absolutely. Thank you very much. That is the Right to Know spokesperson, Dr. Dale McKinley, as well as the spokesperson at My Vote Counts, Sheelan Clark. They were talking to us about some of the loopholes in the bill that is now an act signed by President Cyril Ramaphosa.